Well, welcome everybody to another edition of Last Christian. My name is J.D. Williams here in beautiful East Texas, and joining me from New York City is my co-host, my brother in Christ, Mr. David Paxton.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, David, I want you to interview our guest today because I want you to introduce him for me, please. This guy is incredible, and you know a little bit more about him than I do, so I'm going to let you go ahead and introduce him for everybody.
Okay. I'm just fighting Godzilla here in the background. But today we have an extra special guest for you guys. We try and bring people from different aspects that all love the Lord. How often do you find that in the government? So that's really interesting. Kevin Shipp is a prolific author, and he's got a new book coming out, and he's also been part of the CIA. And we're going to dig into that and ask all sorts of questions here on the show today. So, Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys, for having me.
Well, it is our honor to have you. Let me tell you, like I told you before we even got on, I said, you know, you're on a whole different platform than me. I mean, you're way up there and I'm way down here, and I'm thrilled to have you. I'm going to start off this way, Mr. Shipp. Am I going to have black helicopters flying around my house now?
No, they reserved that for my house. No, and I want to make an important point. I want to make an important point too. People have got to stop being afraid of the CIA.
Amen.
That's the only way we're going to defeat the agency is by people stop fearing them. And the last chapter of this book is called Avalanche, and I'm calling for an avalanche of millions of Americans to stand up and say they've had enough of CIA criminal activity, spying on Americans, and all the corrupt coups and things that they have done. It's time for that to stop. And people have to understand that, and I hear this quite a bit, well, you know, I'd love to have you come on, but I'm afraid the CIA will get me. They're not going to get you.
I'm still breathing.
Yeah, well, hey, it would just, the way I figured, just send me home early anyway, you know.
I don't, there you go.
I don't really like it down there.
Yeah.
it's Jesus. My faith.
Yeah, it's like, oh, hey, Lord, I appreciate you guys down there doing that. And what drives me is my faith. But people have to understand the CIA is not coming after you. They don't have the time. They don't have the resources. And certainly it's extremely illegal. I am putting myself out there in the open because that is the only way to defeat them is in the open, wide open public. Because as long as you do it their way and in secret, they've got you. And as long as they are controlling people in secret, they have them. So I want to remove that veil of secrecy and hold the CIA accountable. And I want to encourage people, do not fear the CIA. I'm your point man. And, you know, years ago, I just wanted to be a pastor, but the Lord called me to something else. And I did a lot of praying about this. And this is what the Lord has called me to do. So I'm happy to do it.
Nice. Well, so let me ask you this, then. What you're saying is they're pretty much the big bully in school taking your lunch money. And if you stand up to them and give them a black eye, they'll probably stop.
You nailed it.
Yeah.
Nice. They're only powerful in secret. They're only powerful in secret, and they're only powerful when people fear them.
Well, I actually did that once, so.
Yeah. Well, now, you know, I've read your bio, and I got it down to one page, which was really hard for me to do, by the way. I mean, you have been...
Sorry about that.
A CIA officer, anti-terrorism expert, held several high-level positions in the CIA. You were even assigned to be the protective agent for the director of the Central Intelligence Agency. I mean, that's, you know, oh boy. You know, I mean, you got all kinds of awards here. I mean, I could go on and on and on, but the point is that you were I would call a key member of the CIA, and now you are uncovering criminal activity by that agency, and what happened? What happened with you?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. What led to this epiphany?
Yeah, go ahead.
In a new role.
Well, and this is in the book. This is probably the first time I'll bring this up. I was a Category 1 CI officer. I was a top category, top performer. I had several meritorious unit citations and exceptional performance awards and other things. And, you know, the CIA was my life and my career. Mm-hmm. The higher I got up, the more I saw that I found not just distasteful, but extremely concerning. And to kind of make the story a little shorter, I uncovered a vulnerability in international systems, and I've got to be careful, obviously, how I word this. It's already mm-hmm. from the company Shadows, and the agency actually let me publish this because it's already out.
Yeah.
But I found, stumbled across a vulnerability in computer systems around the world at every embassy where any foreign national, terrorist, or anybody else could go in the visa section, get into the computer easily, and identify our covert personnel, station chiefs, our case officers, and their assets. So I prepared a very detailed report and presented it to the CIA, and they claimed they didn't get it. I hand walked it over, gave it to the lady in the division responsible, called her back. They don't remember getting it. But then they destroyed it from the headquarters server. Then I got an ominous phone call from a GS-15 in that division saying, you better drop this and drop it now for the sake of your career. And they did everything to stop my investigation of really protecting the lives of my fellow officers, which was baffling.
So,
by the grace of God, and that's what it was, I was contacted by a former decorated CIA officer, God and country man. He's retired, but he was a good man. I used to work for him. And he got a hold of my report, and he said, listen, we've read your report over here, senior state IG, and we think you may have something here. Don't tell the agency what we're doing. Keep it to yourself. We're going to go out and do a global study at embassies on this and see if it is really the case. Keep your head down. Probably hear from us in about 3 months. 3 months later, I get a phone call. It's this fellow, and he says, Kevin, you need to come over to the main state as soon as you can. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, I'm there. So I went over to the top main state to senior IG, and they sat me down and they said, listen, we think your report is accurate and legitimate. And after their 3 month study, I think they went, there's 80 embassies across the world where this vulnerability existed. The guy's name was Jim. He goes, Kevin, when we did our investigation globally in these embassies, we found out it's not just as bad as you thought, it's worse. Anybody can go through the visa section and identify covert CIA personnel, what leading to assassination. Why in the world was the CIA trying to cover this up? So another month went by, and he said, let us put things together, and we'll let you know how we're going to handle this. I get another call from Jim. Hey, Kevin, this is Jim. We have a big meeting at Department of State Friday. Can you be there? Yes, sir, I'll be there. Friday, I show up in Department of State IG, knock on the door. They open the door. There's two senior IG officials. Say, hey, Kev, come on in. Went into this big, long conference room with a long table. And Jim, sitting on one side, they sat me on the other side of Jim, the two IG guys at the head of the table, and they said, we've got someone coming. Stand by. At about 10 minutes, there's a buzzer on their door. They let him in, and it was the senior CIA officer responsible for covering this vulnerability up, threatening me and destroying my documents. His predecessor disappeared. The one that the guy that actually called and threatened me disappeared, replaced with this fellow. So this is GS-15 CI officer. They sat him down at the end of the table, and they said, sir, we are officially reprimanding you right now for putting the lives of your agents at risk for over 10 years and then trying to cover it up. Consider this an official rebuke. We're going to put out a full report to the entire intelligence community, and everyone's going to know what you did. This officer just froze. He was stunned. Speechless, and they said that will be all. He got up, walked by me out the door, and I was like, well, there goes my career. I knew they were going to get me eventually. I embarrassed them to the whole IC, and some of this is in the book. You'll have to get the book to get it, but subsequently they assigned me to a secret base in the United States, kind of stuck away in the middle of nowhere, and a house that had been already evacuated because of toxins in the house. There was a mustard gas shell percolated up in the yard. There was black mold all through the walls. And they moved me and my family in there. And my wife and oldest son became terminally ill, bleeding out of their noses, bruising all over their body, gums bleeding. My wife got dementia, couldn't even get out of bed. My son, they said it looked like he had AIDS or exposed to a burst of radiation. I tried and tried again for them to come out and test the house and see what was making everybody sick, and they refused. My family got sicker and sicker as they tried to cover up, and finally I had enough. And so I filed a personal injury suit against the CIA, and that's where the fun began, break-ins, followings, on and on and on and on. That was my moment. where I said, okay, they're not going to get away with the things I've seen, and they're not going to get away with this. And it's time for someone to stand up against this juggernaut, this dark juggernaut, and expose it for what it is, the illegal operation that operations that's been doing behind Congress's back and even the president's back. Someone's got to do it. And apparently, the good Lord thinks that someone, I guess, humbly is your correspondent here. So I'm doing what I know I'm called to do. I know them from the top to the bottom. That's why I'm still sitting here. And I know exactly how to expose them. And in the book, I have 12 points, 12 ways to reform the CIA and pull covert operations out of the Central Intelligence Agency, put it in the Pentagon, and retain the parts of the agency that are good. For example, the Directorate of Intelligence and Analysis, of things that Truman originally intended for the agency to be.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty powerful. That's pretty deep, right? They basically tried to eliminate you and your family with the big old bully threats again.
They did, and there's something else that's in the book they tried to do to kind of get rid of me, and let people read the book to find that out. Sadly,
let's do that again, because we're going to get into some deep conversations to tell us about the book.
Yeah, I want to put this up on screen real quick, because this is something that you yourself wrote, Mr. Shipp. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to let you read it. It's your deal on Twilight of the Shadow Government, how transparency will kill the deep state. And I'll go ahead and let you read that excerpt there, if you can see it, Mr. Shipp.
Yes, I can only see part of it. Let me mention here and give a shout out to Kent Heckenlively, who was my writer. I wrote several of the chapters, and being kind of a former analyst, you know, I write kind of factually, and Kent is more of an author. So Kent wrote, did a beautiful job ghostwriting this book. So I want to shout out to Kent, because he did a fantastic job.
And I'm going to read this. Let me read this real quick. It says, little did I realize at the time that the greatest threat to me and my family would come not from foreign terrorists or pesky journalists looking for the next big scoop, but from the CIA itself. They would try to kill me and my family, and even though God's grace we escaped, we were not unharmed. Although I did my best, there were still casualties. The depth of my anger over the attack on me and my family knows no bounds, and it informs everything I have done since that day. That is also very, very powerful, Mr. Shipp, and I'm sorry for interrupting you. I wanted to get that out there and let people know. You. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. As the saying goes, you can mess with a man, but you don't mess with his family.
Right.
These are my wife and my kids are the most precious thing in my life. I had what they thought was a terminal illness when I was younger, and answered prayer. I didn't, my kidneys burst and I got my kidneys back, but they said I'd never have kids. Well, I got three beautiful kids, and they're everything to me. And they almost, my son Joey is still suffering from severe mental trauma and physical injury to his immune system. You just don't do that to a person's family. I know them. I was them. I know how they operate. I know what they do. I know the corrupt and illegal things they do. And finally, I said, I even went to a pastor and said, what do you think about this? And the pastor was, he said, I think you should sue them. So we did that. And then they broke into our house and followed us, and on and on and on that goes. Some of which is in the book. It reads like a spy novel, humbly, because basically that's what it is. Exposing that vulnerability, then being followed, the house broken into, chemicals painted on the ceiling, files removed regarding the house. It's just, matter of fact, we signed the movie rights too, God willing, we'll see if it becomes a film too. But it's a fascinating read, and it's pretty shocking what the agency will do to anyone that tries to speak out against it, that is from the inside and knows the game.
Why? Yeah, why do they do this? I just don't get it. What I mean, the CIA is supposed to be there to help us, and instead, it looks like that they're doing everything that they can, not to help us, but to control us. Right?
Oh yeah. Well, they're all about control.
It seems to me like there's still some good parts, like you were saying, but it's the corruption that has gotten in there. Like, I believe in education in school, but it's the wackos that got in there and try and control it. Right. So that's kind of where you're leaning with this, right?
Yeah, that's right. The CIA is all about control. It's all about control of public opinion. And more than anything else, it's all about self-preservation. The CIA, especially Director of Operations, will do anything to preserve itself, including eliminating people if it has to. And that's the part that needs to be taken out of the CIA. There's a lot of very good people that work for the CIA. I work with Director of Intelligence analysts who are wonderful people. And those parts of the agency need to stay because what they're the best at what they do. Mm-hmm. It's the illegal covert operations. There was even a private CIA when Congress tried to stop. Iran-Contra is a good example of that. When Congress tried to rein back the CIA, I almost mentioned their names there, but anyway, some George H.W. Bush, who people don't know, was a longtime CIA officer. Mm-hmm. He claimed he was just the director of the CIA for less than a year. In fact, he was a CIA officer going all the way back to around the time of the Bay of Pigs.
Wow.
So when George H.W. Bush was vice president, that was the CIA in the vice presidency, and he was the one that ran Iran-Contra behind Congress's back. I was there. I was on the inside then, behind Congress's back, and broke U.S. law. And then eventually George H.W. Bush became president. What a surprise, because he is manipulating our elected government. Then we had literally a longtime CIA officer sitting in the Oval Office. That's how extensive, deep the agency's control is over our elected government. That's one of the things I'm exposing.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, now you mentioned the Bay of Pigs, so I'm going to go back a little bit. Well, I'm going to go back a lot, okay? And this is probably goes back even before your time, okay? But John F. Kennedy, when they did the Bay of Pigs deal, is reportedly to have said, "I'm going to bust the CIA into 1,000 pieces."
That's right.
So the CIA couldn't have been very happy with Mr. Kennedy, right?
Yeah, look what happened to him. Yeah, and I am one of the ones that is convinced that the CIA was part of that in conjunction with the mafia.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I was kind of hinting around at that, but you said it without me having to ask the question. And I'm not going to go any further with that there because I'm not into conspiracy stuff. You know,
we all
have our opinions on that. I mean, we can leave that alone. But
mine came true. I need some new ones.
My point here, though, is that the CIA has been kind of operating on the fringes basically since its inception, and now you have been on the inside of this stuff, so I'm going to ask you an uncomfortable question, and you choose to answer it however you want to, but did it ever bother you, any assignment, and you don't have to name the assignment or anything else, but did any assignment ever bother you, like, well, man, that doesn't sound really good, but because it's my job, I'll do it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I went native for 5 years. You know, when I joined the CIA, I was a born again Christian, thank God, because that was kind of what saved my life, I think. Mm-hmm. But when I went out of the director of operations in the field collecting human intelligence, for 5 years, I went native and left my faith because it's an extremely immoral lifestyle. And you know, the picture of James Bond is a complete falsity. Case officers out there and even chiefs of stations are some of the most low-life people you could ever meet. They're going out at night with prostitutes on our tax dollars. And so James Bond, as a matter of fact, Alan Dulles, former, really the in the Devil's Chessboard, David Talbot paints a real picture of this. Alan Dulles was the one that really crafted and created the CIA and smuggled Nazis into the United States and falsified their records to Harry Truman.
I heard that.
From its inception, Truman formed it trying to make it a policy arm of the president, providing intelligence so he could make decisions. And within 2 years, even it had gone rogue, off the rails.
Wow.
And they tried to base it on the National Security Act of 1947, which did not give the CIA covert operational authority. They just took an interpretation and expanded it. Mm. And this is our first quote in the book. Truman came out and wrote an op-ed for the Washington Post saying he regretted forming the CIA, that it had left its constitutional role, was now casting shadow over our freedom, and something needs to be done about it. So it became a monster within 2 years, and from that 2 years on, it is now a global juggernaut.
Yes, it is. David?
Yeah. Now, bring that up to the modern day. Now, a lot of people think that Facebook is a CIA operation and all that. What do you think about that in Meta?
Yeah, well, this is what the CIA does. They are taking over Silicon Valley through their investment arm called InQtel. And we get into detail, of course, in the book. Mm-hmm. InQtel goes out to the CIA helped start Google, for example, See, I funded seed money to Sergey Brin and his associate. The CIA funded seed money to start Google and provided CIA analysts to Google as they built and started their algorithms from the very beginning. Now, Intutel, the CIA's investment arm, is going out to Silicon Valley and offering them contracts. They've got about somewhere in the neighborhood of 500 companies out there that have contracts with the CIA. 100 of those Silicon Valley companies, the contracts are secret. So they're already in Silicon Valley. Several former CIA officers work for Facebook. I'm not saying Facebook is a CIA arm, but I am saying it has been penetrated. Any platform that sits on Google is basically compromised, as is Facebook. Facebook is not a CIA arm. It's not trying, you know, what the CIA does best is they penetrate things, put their officers in there, and start infecting it from the inside. And that's what happened to Facebook.
So you're talking about people that are actually CIA agents that have infiltrated, for lack of a better term, they've infiltrated Google and they're sitting there in the control positions or whatever.
I'm talking about Facebook.
On Facebook, I'm sorry.
Google, okay. And also, let me the Facebook, the ones listed in Facebook are former or retired CIA officers. Let me just leave that there.
Okay.
And now we also have to understand too, which is very chilling, is Amazon. Jeff Bezos entered into a contract with the CIA for $600 million to monitor the cloud. So the CIA is now in Amazon, and Amazon is bound to the CIA, not to talk about what it's doing for the CIA. And this is the way the CIA does it. I'll make this short, but it's important to know. The CIA will approach a company like Amazon or these Silicon Valley companies, and they'll say, "Hey, we got some seed money that we can give you in a contract and really help you expand your business." And the company's like, "Company contract, CIA contract. Well, yeah, we'll take it." Not only that, CIA will say, "You'll be serving your country as a patriot if you sign up with us." Mm-hmm. So they enter into the contract, and then the CIA gets them to sign a CIA secrecy agreement, which bounds them for life from saying anything about that contract with the threat of prison if they do. And that's how the CIA does it, and that's how it's penetrated all the way across America in the news media and in social media.
And I thought the CIA was initially, you know, and I'm not all versed on the CIA 100%. I'm first to admit that, but I thought it was created to spy on other countries, not on American citizens.
That's absolutely true. It is. It's a violation of regulation for the CIA to domestically spy on Americans, which it is doing, and it's found a loophole called the War on Terror to do it. And so now they are seriously violating their charter. I was listening to Tucker Carlson the other night, and apparently the CIA has been, they caught the CIA, I guess, monitoring some of his shows or something. Mm-hmm. That is illegal for the CIA to do that. That is criminal for the CIA to do it. And yep, they're doing it because people have let them get away with it.
Yeah. Well, Congress seems like it can't get out of its own way. I mean, you know, from what
that's
I'm
by
seeing.
Design, too. They install a lot of those people because. Yeah, AOC all of a sudden has a lot of money. You know what I mean?
Well, now, another thing that I heard in the interview that I listened to that you did was that you said that the CIA was withholding top secret information from the President of the United States. And when I say the President of the United States, one specific president, that being Donald J. Trump. Is that correct?
Yes, they did. And they've been doing that to presidents since their inception, either withholding information from the president or giving the president only what they want him to hear. In Donald Trump's case, they consider him a direct threat. I have a whole video out on YouTube on the Russia collusion hoax, the fact that the CIA and John Brennan were intimately involved in trying to bring Trump down through publishing false information, John Brennan did, and calling it intelligence. That was a CIA operation against a president and presidential candidate. And I get into detail who did it, John Brennan, James Comey, and others, and the violations of U.S. Code Title 18 that they violated. They should be arrested. They should be in prison for doing that. Yes, they did.
It's like treasonous activity by those that are supposed to be protecting us. That's unbelievable. Yeah. It really is.
So that we got 3 minutes left in the first half of the show here. I wanted to just touch on this as almost lighthearted, but this is the way I look at everything. The world is going to hell in a handbasket, and we see that in the Bible prophecy, and it's going to be that way. It's not like we can stop it. But what we can do is do things like what you're doing, is expose it so those who are destined to find it and find the truth and come to knowledge of Jesus as the Savior, they will be able to see it. And that's why we're doing this work. Mm-hmm. So I can see us now in the millennium, 100 years, 200, 300 years from now, sitting down, having coffee, and you telling us, yeah, I fought Goliath. This one was mine. It was just CIA. And you're telling the story to all the little kids that are just born in the millennium going, wow. And they can't even believe some of the stuff that we had to go through. And we had him on the radio show. It was great. You should have been there. So I'm just excited to know that I have friends like you who are willing to step out and willing to stand up to the bully, because we know we are ambassadors for Christ. Amen. We are representing the embassy of the King of Kings and the kingdom that is going to be for eternity. So we literally have nothing to fear, because our last breath here means very one thing. Our next breath is with the King of Kings for all eternity. Amen. So that's going to be glorious. JD?
Yeah, I spoke with Mr. Ship for maybe 5 minutes before we got going this morning, and I said he was talking about how people are afraid to bring him on, you know, because they're of the black helicopter. That's the reason I started the show off like that. And I told him, and I'm going to tell the audience, you know, I got no fear, because I know that for me to not be on Earth means that I'm present with the Lord, so I'm good with it. I don't care if CIA comes after me or not. I really don't. And I know that probably people are going, well, what? You're not? Well, no, I'm not afraid of them. And I'm not afraid of them. I don't care.
It's an exciting story I'm going to have for all these.
I'm here to bring it all out, you know, and we're going to continue to bring it all out, because in the second half of the show, I'm going to ask you some other questions that you may or may not have an answer for, which is things about the Ukraine, things about Israel, and of course, Russia. You know, we're going to get into all of that in the second half. And, you know, I told Mr. Shep, if he doesn't want to answer something, he don't have to. But I'm going to ask the questions. On the way out, just to let you know, I had a presidential candidate that wanted to come on and be interviewed, until I told him that I'm not going to accept an answer that I didn't ask the question of. I'll say, that's a great answer to a question I didn't ask. Now you want to ask the one I ask you? And then he didn't want to be the interview anymore. Okay, we will be back after a very short break with the second half of Last Christian.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Nick Harper. Closing arguments are underway in the Donald Trump hush money trial in New York City. The former president denies any wrongdoing, and his lawyers are presenting their final statements first. EverSend's Mitch McCann has more from outside the courthouse in Manhattan.
Now, the prosecution in this case says that Donald Trump is guilty of 34 charges of falsifying business records as he tried to cover up a hush money payment to the porn star Stormy Daniels. It's alleged they had an affair back in 2006, which Donald Trump denies. The defense, which is giving their closing arguments, say that Donald Trump is guilty of nothing. In fact, the former president has called this a witch hunt since the trial began. In the coming days, the jury could begin deliberating in this case, and they could find Donald Trump guilty, not guilty, or there's a possibility it could be a hung jury and this could end in a mistrial.
Meanwhile, American actor Robert De Niro says Donald Trump is trying to destroy New York City. De Niro was speaking outside the courthouse where Trump's trial is taking place. The actor is an ally of President Joe Biden's re-election campaign.
This is my neighborhood. I grew up here and feel at home in these streets. I love this city. I don't want to destroy it. Donald Trump wants to destroy not only the city, but the country, and eventually he could destroy the world.
At least 23 people, including children, have now died as extreme weather continues to rip across much of the United States. Hail, tornadoes, high winds, and severe thunderstorms have devastated large parts of Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Kentucky. EverSend's Tony Waterman has more from Austin, Texas.
Around 47 million people are at risk of extreme weather on Tuesday, with very large hail, hurricane-force winds, and flash flooding expected. The National Weather Service warned residents in the Dallas-Fort Worth area to take cover on Tuesday morning as wind gusts over 70 miles per hour tore through the region. At least 7 people died in the state over the weekend. The extreme conditions come as an early season heat wave sweeps across the region, setting records from the Lone Star State to Florida. Tony Waterman, Texas.
International condemnation is intensifying in the wake of an Israeli strike on Rafah in southern Gaza on Sunday, which killed at least 45 displaced Palestinians who were sheltering there. Ever since Sarah Coates has more from Tel Aviv.
Shock, horror, and outrage. They are just some of the reactions from world leaders as disturbing images of charred bodies and maimed children continue to play out of Gaza, prompting action from world leaders. The European Union has for the first time discussed sanctions on Israel as a possible measure if it doesn't comply with an International Court of Justice ruling. But Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is calling the incident a tragic mishap, vowing to push on with the operation in Gaza.
From Bureaus Worldwide, this is FSN.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again today, we are joined by a very special guest, Mr. Kevin Shipp, a former CIA agent. He also he speaks a lot. I've seen a couple of your videos, by the way. And, of course, you're the author of what now? Is this your third book, I believe?
Third book, yes.
And we really want to get into this book because it's pretty incredible, actually. I'm going to put the title slide back up here one more time. The Twilight of the Shadow Government, How Transparency Will Kill the Deep State. And, Mr. Shipp, where can people pick up this book?
It's on Amazon right now as a pre-order. As a matter of fact, it's already a bestseller, and it's just on pre-order. The release date is September the 10th. We're hoping to get it out before then, but no later than September 10th, the book will be available. But it is available for pre-sale on Amazon now.
And one thing I noticed here, and again, for those people that are watching this on a video feed, and you can get that at www.lastchristian.net. You can find us on Rumble. You can find us on YouTube and other places. But you'll notice here I have got a quote from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on here, which says Kevin Shipp was a Tier 1 performer at the CIA. He saw firsthand the corruption in the agency and heroically went public, revealing CIA criminal activity. Again, that quote from Robert F. Kennedy Jr., attorney, and he also wrote about the real Anthony Fauci and the Wuhan cover-up. So let's start with the Wuhan cover-up. What do you know about that?
Well, and Bobby Kennedy and I have become friends. So I would encourage everybody to read the real Anthony Fauci, for starters, and then the Wuhan cover-up. Bobby Kennedy is a brilliant man and a very good man, too. Those books, they're just a brilliant piece of work, and people need to read those. Part of that is, once again, goes back to the CIA. And the CIA had a contract, which they do with some universities. The CIA entered into a contract with Johns Hopkins University to study propaganda and lockdown measures in the event of a pandemic. Mm-hmm. So the CIA had an entire procedure ready to go for propaganda, lockdowns, and population control that was developed by the CIA with Johns Hopkins before COVID even hit. When COVID hit, you can see exactly the CIA program rolled out with the propaganda, the lockdowns, the population control. That all started with CIA studies and programs in Johns Hopkins University. And people need to understand that once again, the CIA has got its dark fingers in the American system again, including the COVID virus.
And now looking at the bird flu, because monkeypox just sounded too ridiculous and no one bought into
it. Yeah, right. That one didn't work.
Look at monkeypox. What are you, a kid? So now it's the bird flu, because that was important a while ago, too. But now it comes from cows because we can add mad cow to it. Yeah, it's a whole psyop thing. I wanted to ask about AI. Are they in control of AI? And what all of a sudden this past year, woof, everything's AI this and AI that?
Now, you could be sure that whatever comes out about the CIA has been already going on for at least 20 years. Mm-hmm. Remember I mentioned the CIA Amazon contract for the cloud. Mm-hmm. The CIA is, of course, as a matter of fact, they just created a new division in the CIA called the Directorate of Digital Innovation. Which is AI, a whole directorate. Now, if you know what the CIA is, in its current form, that should give everybody chills down their spine. Because that is an entire directorate in the CIA created and developed to use AI for CIA purposes, operations.
So that's why they're pushing it so hard and building it so fast. That makes sense. How does it fit into the Bitcoin, too, though?
Bitcoin, you know, this is just me, but anything digital is at risk. Bitcoin, a lot of people are making a lot of money off Bitcoin, and I know Bobby Kennedy is all for it to get rid of government control over people's money, and I certainly support that. But I do know anything that is digital, there's no such thing as a one-way connection. Anything that's digital can be taken over and compromised by the government. The only thing that bothers me about cryptocurrency, although it is an alternative to the government's control and the eventual demise of the U.S. dollar, which will happen sometime between 5 and 10 years.
My biggest problem with it is, it's electronic. So if the grid goes down, you got zip.
I don't know nothing about Bitcoin other than I'm not in it. That's the only thing I know about it.
I got a little bit just because it's fun to watch it go up and down, but I'm kind of tentative about putting it all over. But anyway,
Mr. Shipp, we had Stella Emanuel on just recently. She doctor there that what was the name of that drug, David? I never can say it.
Formaldehyde? No.
anyway, it was designed to cure COVID. It was designed to help out with the COVID thing. And I asked her directly, I said, how would things have been had Hillary Clinton been president instead of Donald Trump? And what I was expecting to hear her say is, you know, they would be supportive of her drug and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, we'll get it under control really quick and we'll make Clinton look better and all this kind of stuff. Instead, she said there wouldn't have been a COVID-19. Do you agree with that?
I do not, because Anthony Fauci, and he, I hope he gets charged for perjury.
Me too.
Anthony Fauci was funding viral research at a Chinese laboratory in Wuhan, of all things, our number one espionage enemy, which is foolish to begin with. But that was already happening. Fauci was already doing gain-of-function research in Wuhan. And Donald Trump kind of fell in the middle of that mess, I think he was just thinking Fauci really was an expert and, you know, brought him in, when in reality, Fauci was covering up the fact that they were responsible for the gain-of-function research in Wuhan. Now, after lying over and over and over, even some sectors of the news media are having to admit that the virus did come out of Wuhan, and it was developed in the Wuhan lab.
I agree with that 100%. David?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've just seen that. Now they're just going to shift the focus and everyone's going to forget about it. So what's the next one? I wanted to really ask, about this fake war. All of a sudden, I see this huge influx of all these Palestinian supporters, you know, and they're over here doing this. And then I think 4 out of 5 of the ads and promotions I see when I'm just going through Facebook are some kind of Palestinian nonsense. Oh, they got fake videos of the babies. They got basically wrap up a bunch of things. Look at all the babies and this and that. But there's like hundreds of them. And it just looks to me like they're buying all these accounts and putting out this fake news. Thoughts?
Well, shout out to Steve. You're talking the protests on universities specifically in the United States or the propaganda coming out of the
all over the place. The protests there, the people from all sorts of Islamic propaganda, tons and tons and tons of it, all of a sudden out of nowhere.
Shout out to Steve Emerson, who wrote the first book, American Jihad, also a friend of mine, wonderful guy, brilliant guy. Warned way back then, as I did on several of my shows, that what they're doing is engaging in what is called cultural jihad. Get into the United States and propagate amongst Islamic communities like they did when they took over London, which is basically gone. They're trying to do that in the United States. So here we go, just short of a generation later, and we're seeing cultural jihad come out and do what it was intended to do, and that's take over U.S. cities and spread propaganda about Hamas and anti-Israel. This has been brewing ever since Steve came out and alerted people to this, and since I started doing my programs, we've been warning. They're getting the United States, they're growing their communities so they can establish the one thing that they're after, and that's cultural jihad and jihad in the United States. And now we're seeing all these students come out and do these insane protests against Israel, and that's how it started, by penetrating culturally the U.S. and the so-called diversity program. Mm-hmm. Now they're all over the place in universities, and it's almost beyond control, but it's been brewing for goodness at least 20 years.
Well, let me ask you, this is, are they playing both sides against the middle to some degree? I mean, stirring up protest over here and stirring up the anti-protest over there, to where they keep the country completely divided all the time, to where it's got to rely on the government.
Absolutely. They want a divided country, because a united country will call the government into question and call the government into account. Okay. And I have to say, the CIA's biggest enemy, the shadow government's biggest enemy, as it was in the Soviet Union, are Christians.
Amen.
Because we answer to a higher authority. And we're not going to be demanded by government to terminate a baby just before it's born or any insane thing like that. Mm. We're not afraid of being persecuted. Those of us who are the true Christians are not afraid of dying for their faith. And the CIA does not know how to control Christians. Have you noticed the assault and attack on Christianity in America through the news media and all the other propaganda outlets? Christianity is the villain. Well, that's intentional, because Christians will not march to the government's commands and demands, as it has down through history. Back in the Soviet Union, the KGB came out and said, and also their president at the time, we can control the entire population, but there's one group we just can't get control over, and it's those Christians. We just can't control
them. Yeah,
that is why Christianity is under attack in America.
Yeah.
Because they know we can't be controlled. Now, there's a lot of Christians out there that are way off track and have gotten really lukewarm. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about legitimate Christians, that their faith is stronger than anything. They're a threat to secret government.
Yeah. The wheat, not the tares.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, now, here's a question for you. Again, a little bit uncomfortable, but I think you can handle it. And that is the CIA still after you? Are they still coming after you, or are they backing off now?
Well, they've backed off for a while. This book, and humbly, this book, a book has never been written like this one.
Yeah.
And there's nothing classified in it, but of course they don't care about that.
Right.
I was able to write this book very carefully, so there's nothing classified in there, but there is a lot of information exposing, documented information, exposing the CIA's criminal activity. And the funny thing we were talking about before the show is, once the manuscript was done, I'm required by my secrecy agreement to submit the manuscript to the CIA for pre-publication review before they allow it to come out. That's like, you know, the hen house submitting their plan to the fox.
Right.
Before the fox gets it up. Or it's like a criminal, you know, you have to submit your police report to the criminal before you publish it. It's with them right now. That's why I'm making this public, because I am holding them accountable. If there's anything in this book that they black out that's not classified, none of it's classified, but that they don't like, there's an executive order that Ronald Reagan issued making it illegal for the CIA to redact or black out any information just because it reveals criminal activity or is embarrassing.
Yeah.
That's why they blacked out some of the things in front of the Company of Shadows. Doctor's diagnosis of my family's serious injuries, they blacked that out.
Mm-hmm.
That's breaking the law. It's a violation of the law. And the same applies here. That's why I'm making it public. We'll see what they black out. And I'll tell you, if they black out anything that is not classified, which is the entire book, I'm going to make that known. And I'm going to hold them accountable. No, the PRB, Pre-Publications Review Board, now it's the Pre-Publication Classification Review Board. And my dad used to work there. They're good people. They're trying to do a good job. I had lunch with several of them when I was there. But the PCRB has to submit this over to the Director of Operations to the dark side, so that they can take a cut and redact things that they don't want the public to know. That's got to stop.
Yeah.
One of the things I'm recommending in this book is when an officer submits a manuscript, there needs to be a chain of custody of where that officer manuscript goes in the CIA, what division it goes to, the name of the division chief it goes to, and they have to sign off on it so that people can see exactly where that book went. Because the CIA will hold on to it for a year or more and then try to ruin the person's finances in the meantime. Well, they're not getting away with that this time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good for you. Yeah, good for you. Tell us a little bit about the Russian hoax. I mean, that's a big one, and I know that's what kind of got you going. Go ahead. And then, David, it's up to you from there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Man, when that happened, of course, I dug deep in and did a lot of research on that. It was an abomination and probably the tip of the iceberg. The Central Intelligence Agency, their director, John Brennan, issued a press release on Trump having associations with Russian agents to help him get elected. And Brennan labeled that as intelligence, which it was not. It was disinformation, and published it to the news media, which ran with it as being a fact. And we all know now that the Steele dossier was a bunch of baloney. Right. In my video on YouTube, I get into great detail on Steele and that. But that was literally the CIA publishing disinformation, calling it classified to bring down presidential candidate. People should be in jail for that.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Mm. David?
They really should. Yeah. Now, all the money we're sending to Ukraine, in my humble yet totally accurate opinion, they're laundering that. I want to hear what's your take on that? Because we can't take care of the homeless people here, but we got billions of dollars to send over there. For what?
I know it. I'll give you my take on it. I did a lot of research on this, and I've got a program out there on this, about the Ukrainian coup. The government of Ukraine before the coup was a democratically elected government. John Brennan made several secret trips into the Ukraine that people don't know about, meeting with the coup plotters. John Brennan, our Department of State, Victoria Nuland, in conjunction with George Soros, organized and helped prop up that coup to top of democratically elected government and install the government that is there now. That was either intentional or it's the stupidest thing they could have done. Sometimes you got to figure out which one it is, because they'll do things that are really stupid. But what they did was they provoked Russia. Now, Putin's a murderer and a killer, and I'm not supporting Putin. But what they did was push Russia, who had said for years, Ukraine can't enter NATO because it's right on our border. Well, they pushed that, and they put it right on their border. And Putin, being some of an authoritarian, pushed back hard, because this was compromising the Soviet Union. The Biden administration and our government has led us virtually to the point of a possible World War III, because they're either so foolish, so arrogant, or they want it to happen.
Yeah, yeah. Now, that's something we've been talking about on this show for a long time. You know, I really believe that it is a precursor for World War III, but I believe that World War III, my personal opinion here, is in the form of the Gog and Magog War, as spoken of in Ezekiel 38 and 39. And I believe, again, personal opinion here, is that the vaccine, and I'm not going to say whether I'm for it or against it, but I will say that I believe it is a great test of what a government can do to mandate something which can very easily lead you to the mark of the beast. And I think that their test was highly successful. I'd like your comments on any of that.
I agree. I have a video out there on the Mark of the Beast, and it's worth watching, especially the Microsoft patent that is out there for an algorithm for people to have to buy and sell. It's a digital algorithm that Microsoft wants to put in place for people to do digital financial transactions. Where is that? Is it Revelation 13? Let anybody who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, an algorithm, a number, and they cannot buy or sell without it. And I'm talking intellectually, specifically here. We're clearly heading in that direction, where there will be an algorithm, and without that digital economy and without that algorithm, you will not be able to buy food or sell or anything else. That is where we're headed. And 10 years ago, when I read the chapter 13 in Revelation, I would have thought, wow, how's that going to happen someday? Yeah. Now it's right there.
Right, even just 10 years ago. We knew it was going to happen.
It's crystal clear now. Because I wondered that, too, as a kid. How in the heck are they going to pull this off? Well, I know now. Yeah. It's clear.
I want to present something that maybe either one of you, JD, you might have heard me yak about it a little bit. But when it says, it doesn't say 666. What it says is 666.
Right.
And if you parse that out, that is a hexadecimal system. Okay? that means it's a six base. I mean, divisible by 1, 2, and 3, as opposed to just the 1 and the 2, like a 10 base. Yeah. Okay. So it's a much more efficient system. And when you look at it, the ancient technologies always used a six base system. We even see Nebuchadnezzar and his statue was 60 qubits. And then they had six instruments and all, everything was 666.
Okay.
Even we got 60 minutes in a clock. You know, and
right.
We got 360 days, you know, 360 degrees in a circle. Mm-hmm. Everything was a six base in the ancient Babylonian Empire because it's much more efficient, much more mathematically perfect. Mm-hmm. Okay. Whereas that now I'm thinking all of this digital technology is probably going to use a six base rather than the binary, you know, on off things that we got right now. Six base would be much more efficient. And be able to control everybody around the world instantly. You know, it's like an adiabatic quantum computer. It just makes sense to me that it's 666 and it's a mathematical digital program that they're going to get into. And I don't think I've heard anyone talk about that. So we'll do that on a show.
Yeah.
I think that's very possible. And also, in the Bible, 6 is the number of man. Whenever it refers to man, it uses the number 6. Adam was created on the sixth day. 3 is the number of a trinity. So when you have 3 sixes, you have man making himself out to be God in the book of Revelation, which would be the Antichrist and his number system.
Yeah, it all just fits together so nicely. Yeah.
And the CIA is the CIA is not unprepared for such an event, I would assume, and probably they probably have a good read on how to control everybody on Earth if they were given everything they wanted, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You don't have to expand, and I can tell you don't want to, but that's fine. That's fine. But you answered the question, and that's the important part right there. Again, I want to give you time to talk about your book a little bit more, and the thing is that I want to know what in your book, and you don't have to give it away, but what in your book do you most look forward to people reading?
I would say, I think the most important part of my book is the chapter on Avalanche and the chapter on CIA reform. Mm-hmm. I give specific things that American people and our government can do to remove the director of covert operational authority from the CIA. I think that's the most important chapter. There are some really fascinating chapters in there that are all fact-based. We've got footnotes for all of them. And one is Bob Woodward, who, you know, of Watergate fame, the so-called ultimate journalist who busted Nixon and Watergate. That is all a fabrication. And in his book, Veil, Bob Woodward claims that he got into the hospital and met with CIA Director William Casey on his deathbed and got Casey to admit to the Iran-Contra operation. That is a complete fabrication. Woodward did not count on the fact that I was going to come out because I was there and I was one of the agents in the hot seat outside of William Casey's hospital room. Mm-hmm. Woodward did try to get in, and the agents on duty at the time gracefully showed him the door. That is a bold-faced lie. Now, we found out, we traced that Woodward's intelligence connections go all the way back when he had a TSSCI clearance in the Navy. He was an intelligence officer. Mm-hmm. And he was connected to General Alexander Haig. And essentially, Haig and Woodward were trying to stage a coup. Nixon was going to break up the CIA himself. I don't know if people know that. He was going to reform it. And Woodward and Haig staged essentially a behind-the-scenes coup against Nixon, Woodward being an intelligence officer. And then years go by, and all of a sudden, after that, with no journalistic background, boom, he becomes a chief Washington Post reporter. And by the way, Washington Post is the number one CIA mockingbird paper, owned by Jeff Bezos, who has a CIA contract. Anyway, so all of a sudden, Woodward becomes a reporter for the Washington Post. And within a year, he breaks the biggest story in U.S. history. Well, I remember when I was an agent on the director's staff up on the 7th floor, Woodward was visiting Casey constantly. And we all were like, what the heck does this guy have? Why is he meeting with Casey all the time? Well, Casey actually gave Woodward information to put in his book. That was classified information, feeding it out there because he wanted people to read that specific information. he was close to Bob Woodward because, in my opinion, based on the research, which is documented in this book, Bob Woodward was an intelligence officer.
Wow. Okay. That's news right there, David.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Probably the book's going to be a bombshell. I mean, yeah. it will.
Yeah. And again, what is the release date on that again? And where can people pre-order it?
September the 10th, and they can pre-order it on Amazon.
Okay. Mm. All right.
All the people we're talking about.
I want to get to
CIA.
Israel real quick before we run out of time, and that is is the United States government anti-Semitic? I'm talking about the deep state part, or is that the reason we're seeing it pop up everywhere? Has it infiltrated the CIA?
Well, when I was there, we and Israel were tight. Amen. And our intelligence services were tight, although we spied against each other like we do with our allies and everybody else.
Sure.
But Israel was our strategic intelligence partner in the Middle East. So mm-hmm. when I was there, the agency always supported Israel, and I went over there with then Deputy Director Robert Gates to meet with some of the senior people in Israel. And there was always a good connection there. I think, this is just my opinion, what we're seeing, and I think the best explanation, at least for me, is we're seeing biblical prophecy unfold.
Amen.
Jerusalem encompassed about with armies. You know, the end is near, and man, is it surrounded. I think that's more a biblical event happening. I don't think the CIA is behind that. Now, who knows what Joe Biden is doing? Because pretty clear Joe Biden is not supporting Israel. But then again, he's one of the darkest, most puppet presidents we've ever had.
Right.
So he's not going to support Israel or you know, not only our political ally over there, but also an important biblical part of history. And Joe Biden doesn't want to have any part of that. You know, God help us. We need to get that man out of the White House. So I don't think the CIA is doing that, no.
Okay. David, we only got a couple of minutes left. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're down to less than 2 minutes now, so this is exciting. I just wanted to touch on a couple of things. As always, we're always saying, hey, these things are really dark and evil that are coming up, but don't be terrified. The whole idea for us sharing them is to expose the wickedness so you can know that there is wickedness and that you can turn to the righteous one. That is mm-hmm. Jesus, the King of Kings, and he is the righteous King. Mm-hmm. So, Kevin, we have about a minute left. You want to give somebody a call to receive Jesus?
I would, excuse me, and I want to stress that we're kind of in the time of Jacob's trouble. We're not in tribulation yet, but we're in the shadow of the tribulation. Dark times are coming, and in all my travels around the world and in my career, the one thing I realize, there is only one solution to men's problems, going all the way down to the personal level, and that's Jesus Christ, and asking Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior. It saved me. I'm here. I'm still breathing. I'm doing what God wants me to do. It healed me from a terminal illness back when I was 12 years old, and a group of Christians prayed for my healing. It's real. And it can give you personal peace. Whatever traumatic situation you're going through, the Lord can get you through that and turn your life around. He's done it for me several times, probably for you guys too. So I want to just give the invitation to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He's your answer. He's the only place you'll ever find real peace. So, guys, would you like me to pray with some of the people?
Well, I wish we had time for it, but we don't. Mm-hmm. And all I got time to do is say thank you so much for being a part of the show today. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for being here.
You guys, thanks for what you do.
God bless you. Thank you. Everybody, get saved now.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Put a frog in boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As veterans, we tell ourselves the lie that we can handle anything. We let the water boil. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and